Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hi, Tom Bernard here. You're listening to Best of the Family. Enjoy the show. Thanks for listening. Michael Bryant, Brad Sean Bryant, what's the latest?
We're just trying to represent people who've been injured through no fault of their own. We're trying to talk to them before they talk to an adjuster or before they take a settlement that isn't something they should get based upon their injuries.
How many people are out there in different, not in the law business, that love to run around scaring people before you even get to them?
Well, adjusters will want to settle cases, right, and they want to close files. So based upon that, they do what they have to. I think there's a lot of circumstances where they probably act as attorneys where they're not attorneys, and they try to explain people's rights, or they give them a certain view that if they look at it. And what I always say is this: if the adjuster really truly thinks the offer they made makes sense, they'd have them come see us. You know,
and that's exactly my question is, you have to understand who has the best, your best interest in mind, correct?
Well, you want to know what your rights are. You know, whether or not you decide you're going to hire us or not, that's a choice. It's a free consultation, and you want to understand what your, all your rights are and what coverages you have.
And plus the fact, I hang out with you, so you got to be a good guy if I'm hanging out with you.
Maybe.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Bryant, Bradshaw, and Bryant. Walser Automotive Group, Walser.com, and Doug Sprinthal.
Nissan news. This is exciting, and I'm glad Andy's here. We just got our first shipments at Coon Rapids Nissan and Burnsville Nissan of the all-new 2021 Nissan Rogue. Dude, you need to trade. This is a brand-new vehicle. It's got bird's-eye parking, so when you're backing up, you hit the screen, and it's like a spy satellite above the vehicle. It is, and it's got ProPilot. It is cool. Trade your car in.
Well, Melissa said she did like this one better than the last one, so maybe she'll like the next one better than this one.
All right, be like Andy and Melissa and check out the Nissan Rogue.
It's been a dream of mine to be like Andy ever since he was born.
So, yeah, check out these vehicles at Walser Nissan in Burnsville and in Coon Rapids, House of J-Lo and the House of Dan Resch. Tell them Andy sent you.
Walser Automotive Group, Walser.com. I love this song. What song is that?
Hysteria by Def Leppard.
Hysteria, that's the name. But I knew it was Def Leppard, but it's Hysteria. I like Def Leppard.
Me too. Yeah, they went through a lot of stuff and just stayed on top, man.
Hey, just because he lost a leg and an arm or whatever.
Well, they lost a guitar player too, Steve.
What happened to his leg and his arm?
Car accident.
Car accident. Yeah.
And then Steve OD'd on alcohol and died. And so they've been through a lot in their careers and stayed on top, man. Yikes. It's pretty hard to do. Most bands would have been hated each other and broke up.
Yep.
It's abs. Oh my, dude, what you were just talking about. I think most killed in deadly Himalayan clash fell to their deaths.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the people from India?
Yeah.
I thought so. They fell to their deaths. I didn't know. That's terrible.
Ain't good. A lot of stuff's going on in the world that we're not even talking. Our media doesn't even talk about it at all.
No, they don't. BBC
Zero.
Does, though.
I mean,
BBC covers it.
Chinese are going after India. We have North Korea blowing stuff up.
Why would China be going after India? India and China are
they fought over who owns the Himalayas.
Yeah, it's a border country, so they want to.
Why do they care about
China?
The Himalayas?
China wants land. That's what they're. That's what
yeah,
they
China
do.
Just wants China's to become
got a
the
shit
world.
Ton of land.
They're building more land in the ocean. They're pushing dirt into the ocean from the mountains,
are.
Building more land.
They've got tons of land.
Oh, they want more.
Like it's gonna end well.
They want more.
All right, it's time for a little laugh, and I'll just read the headline because the headline's the only funny part of it. If this doesn't cheer you up, I don't know what will. This is an actual headline in today's news blog. You ready?
News blog.
News something.
From blogland. From
the newswire. Guy fined. Okay.
Yes, he's been fined.
Guy fined by police for farting at them with full intent. Full intent farting.
That must have been one rank fart.
For you guys don't think that's funny? I think that's farting.
Is it true, though?
Yeah, he farted at the cop.
Is it true?
I do wonder.
Is this propaganda?
Because you can spit at a cop and not get fined in most cities
that's
anymore.
That's true.
And the spokesperson for the police department said, and I quote, "Our colleagues don't like to be farted at so much."
What did it say? What city it was?
It was in
Vienna, Austria.
Oh, Vienna,
there
Austria.
There you go. That's why. I knew it wasn't in the United States, man.
They prefer people to act civil.
Yes,
at all times.
I knew that was not a United States story.
No,
that's in the top running. Is Austria?
Austria is a great place. I've been all.
I want to go there.
Is it?
Austria? Yep. If you go there,
I would spend my summer.
Go to the Austrian Alps, where they border. They border Italy, so the northern Italy, it goes into Austrian Alps. There's a town there called Bolanzo. It's
Bolanzo?
It's spectacular.
Sounds like a made-up name.
No, it's a clown.
It's spectacular.
Bolanzo the clown.
Spectacular.
And go to the Ötzi Museum. That's where the oldest human being ever found. He's 5,000 years old. He's found frozen solid in a chunk of ice.
Yeah.
That museum's in that town, and it's spectacular. You'll have a great time there.
Ötzi.
And you took, Ötzi. And he's about this big. And he went from Asia all the way there to the Italy.
Yeah, but did
Austrian
he fart
Alps.
At the police?
He had police then.
Might not have had any police back then.
5,000 years ago, I doubt it.
I love that
not.
So much.
No.
And they got on just fine.
Farting with full intent was the charge.
Yeah, in that country, they probably would arrest you for that.
I think it's hilarious. That's wonderful news. So, ladies and gentlemen, we can cheer up because apparently Aunt Jemima is not going to be Aunt Jemima anymore. Uncle Ben's not going to be Uncle Ben anymore. And this guy got fined for farting at police.
Aunt Jemima is not even maple syrup. So.
Yeah, it is. Oh, isn't it?
No, it's
what
like
is it?
Brown corn syrup, yeah.
Oh, it's corn syrup?
Yeah,
it's not
fake.
It's not real maple syrup.
It's
artificial
syrup
anyway. So.
We buy maple, dude.
We buy skinny sticks.
Well, we buy genuine maple syrup.
I buy loads of maple syrup, and I never am brand specific. It's whatever.
No, I'm not.
Whatever real
just,
maple syrup.
The last
yeah, you
sale.
Have to buy
that's
real.
What I get.
That's the
I
thing
gonna,
is,
yeah.
It's hard to find. Most maple syrup is not maple syrup.
Like Malata honey isn't honey either.
Yeah, Malata honey.
Really?
Isn't honey.
Yes.
What is that?
Fake.
It's just fake.
Artificial.
Well, how do they make
from China.
Honey?
Sugar.
Corn
from
syrup.
From China.
And olive oil. A lot of olive oil's fake.
Are you talking about bitter honey?
No, honey.
No,
regular
honey is a candy
old
bar.
Honey. A lot of it is fake honey.
Sugar, yeah.
Well, yeah.
If and olive oil.
You buy the 5-gallon drums of honey. It's
well, maple
just
syrup's
corn
real
syrup.
Easy. The real expensive stuff's real, and the
yeah,
cheap
exactly.
stuff's fake.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Very true. Yeah.
If you go to Whole Foods
so delicious.
Or a co-op, it will
if you saw
real.
What it takes to make maple syrup, you would have no
I
problem
have
paying
that.
For it.
Really?
Because
so
it's very
much,
hard to make.
Yeah. You
really?
Need so much. Sap.
Yeah.
And
it's,
but it, they boil it down
syrup.
To nothing,
yeah.
man. It takes forever.
Yeah.
It's almost like making crack cocaine out of cocaine. You get you
well,
get
you
like,
know.
It's almost.
No, I'm saying you
well,
get very little.
I love maple syrup.
You get very little out of a lot.
Yeah.
So if you have a lot of cocaine and you cook it down to crack cocaine, you get very little out of that. So it's like that's
reduction.
Like maple
it's
syrup.
A reduction process.
Reduction of product.
Uh-huh.
Quality, though.
Okay.
Get higher quality.
It's good shit, man.
Good maple syrup is good stuff.
Oh, my God. You know, we're just talking about China's battling India,
they're going after
people
India, yeah.
falling off mountains in the Himalayas because of it, and North Korea was just quoted as saying we're sending in the troops.
Yeah.
Country vows to resume military exercises, reestablish guard posts near the southern border, so they're going to send in troops to the DMZ. Everybody, seriously, how can you not be sad right now?
I know,
and I'm not a very religious person, but all this stuff is in the Bible.
It is.
It
and
is.
What's
right?
Andy? Look up what the end of the world looks like in the Bible. I want to
know. They don't call it the end of the world. They call it the next coming of Jesus.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So it's not the end of the world.
It's not going to be the end of the world.
It's the next coming of Jesus in the Bible.
Yeah, the second coming.
Melissa could tell you all about it because she did.
Melissa could, but she's not here, so use Google.
There's all sorts of stuff in Revelation that's very, very insane.
I know it.
But is anything like murder hornets and race riots?
I know a complete expert on this subject. If you ever want to have him on the show, he is.
I want to know.
He'll tell you every word.
What the second coming is going to look like.
Better get back to church.
The Jesus stuff?
But what's it actually says in the Bible about this subject? He's like literally an expert.
I was talking to my friend Lindsay about this the other day, and we were like, okay, so right now, the United States is so vulnerable due to all of its ridiculous weakness.
We could get attacked.
Right?
Yes. If I was an enemy, I would attack our country right now.
Together.
And you know what? That's what we might need.
Oh,
we might need to be invaded by another country together. I'm serious.
Yeah, we might.
Watching that World War II documentaries, that's what we might need. We might need to be invaded by another country before we come together as like one country and fight.
Let it be Canada.
Yeah, yeah, that would do really well.
They can take us over.
But that might be what it takes to make this country whole.
Well, I'd rather be China, too, than what's going on right now, honestly. I can learn to speak Chinese, but I can't stop being white.
Mao! Wait a minute.
I think that might be Korean.
You don't think that that'll be a problem in a Chinese takeover, your skin color?
How about Chinese takeout?
Oh, my God.
Come on.
So racist.
That was funny. How is Chinese takeout racist?
I thought it was funny.
Thank you.
Your race is not a problem.
I thought it was good timing. Good timing, too.
Unbelievable.
China doesn't care who you are as long as you're loyal to the party.
Yeah, that's very
true.
Why
do they have a lot of people in lockup?
Because they're not loyal to the party.
Have you guys,
they must not have been loyal.
Have you guys seen this guy who just got sentenced to 14 years or 16 years?
The white guy?
Oh, my God. He got set up. A friend of his invited him to his wedding in Russia. Then when he got there, his friend hands him a zip drive from a flashcard from a computer. And then the KGB grabbed him. His friend set him up. And now that he just got sentenced to 16 years of labor camp in Russia, man.
Yep.
He just was going to some dude's wedding. He's like nobody. He's just some guy.
That's sad.
So the guy that handed him the thumb drive or whatever it was.
Set him up. It was his friend.
He did something very bad.
Yes. Probably. Yeah.
He was trying to, he was in trouble with the government, and he was trying to give them somebody.
Yeah.
And he gave him an innocent guy, but that guy's done, man. And they didn't even give him a trial. No trial, no nothing. They had him in a glass box.
Yeah,
I watched the video.
A lot of due process in.
He held up a note saying "sham trial" on the glass because he didn't even get to speak or nothing.
Yeah, and then he was beat to a pulp because he did that.
And now he's in a workhouse, man, for 16 years.
Yeah, I'm a lucky man because if you called me and said, "Hey, Tom, come to Russia," I'd go, "Yeah, I'm good."
I would go to
I've been to Russia. No way.
I'd go to Russia.
Catherine's been to Russia.
I'd go to Russia.
Never.
Nancy's mom just went on a river cruise. Nancy's mom just went on a river cruise to Russia. She's always gorgeous.
We should probably stop early because we're a minute late for Dinesh.
Oh, dear.
Early, 15 seconds early. We'll be right back. Dinesh D'Souza will join us right after this.
Tom Bernard here with my buddy and CEO of North American Banking Company, Michael Bilski. Great to have you here, Michael.
Always great to be with you, Tommy.
Michael, we've talked before about the XCheck app at North American Banking Company, where you can send money to your friends and family directly from your account to theirs for free. I imagine people are using it a lot these days, huh?
Beyond paying a friend back for the dinner you split or paying fantasy football or golf side action, we've heard from our customers that they're using XCheck to send money to their grown-up kids for a family takeout meal or using it to pay the person that plows their driveway in the winter. Our customers love the flexibility of paying right from their account in just a couple of taps on their phone wherever they are located.
I use XCheck, and it's just as easy as Michael says. Send money in one business day or less, and it's completely free. Get XCheck by contacting any of North American Banking Company's 5 Twin Cities locations. So why not bank with my banker? That's you, Mike.
Tommy, thanks for the privilege.
North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. As you know, my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Mike created the new Giza Dream Sheets. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for me, which is crucial for my busy schedule. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. The first night you sleep on the Giza sheets, you will never want to sleep on anything else. Giza Dream Sheets come in a variety of sizes and colors. Mike is making a special offer for my listeners. You buy one set, get another set absolutely free. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use promo code TOM, T-O-M. There you'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 1-800-516-5146, use promo code TOM, or go to MyPillow.com. Make sure you use the promo code TOM.
No.
No, sure, it's the battery thing.
She'll be back.
Down, down. I like it. Ladies and gentlemen, United States of Socialism, who's behind it, why it's evil, how to stop it, our very special guest, Dinesh D'Souza. How are you, sir?
Hey, good, thanks. Good to be on the show.
Well, it's nice to have you on the show. I've been a fan of yours for years, watching you on television, speak your mind. Actually, one of the problems I have with America right now, Dinesh, can I call you? May I call you Dinesh? Is that okay?
Of course.
Okay. One of the problems I have with America right now, Dinesh, is the weakness of our men in this country right now. It just, it drives me, they just cower and, it drives me nuts. For those who witnessed the global collapse of socialism, its resurrection in the 21st century comes as a surprise, even a shock. How can socialism work now when it has never, ever worked before? I just want to shut up right now, Dinesh, and listen to what you have to say, because I love your take.
Well, socialism, it's not as if it's a new idea. You know, at the end of the last century, socialism covered almost half the world. Huge countries from Russia and its satellites all through China, India. These were all socialist countries. I grew up under Indian socialism. I remember my family had a ration card which specified that we could buy only so much rice, only so much sugar, only so much cooking oil. So to me, socialism was symbolized by scarcity. And India at that time was like the begging bowl of the world. So how did India come up? Well, by getting rid of socialism. Same with China. And finally, the Russians dumped it too. So it looked like socialism was finished. And then almost kind of miraculously, or by some sick turn of events, it started reviving again in the United States, the one country that has never had socialism in its mainstream. So that's why I wrote the book, is to dissect how we got here, who are the socialists, what kind of evil schemes are they trying to foist upon us, and how can we defeat them?
Dinesh, I have to ask you questions off the top of your head. From the descriptor of your book, it talks about, socialism advanced today by the likes of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Bernie Sanders, Ilhan Omar, Elizabeth Warren, very different from the socialism of Lenin, Mao, and Castro. Combined, Lenin, Mao, and Castro murdered how many people? About 200 million?
A lot.
It was a lot of people.
Yeah, the socialists collectively they've certainly killed 100 million people.
And that's
basically Stalin, 30 to 40 million. Hitler, about 30 million, including 6 million Jews. We sometimes forget Hitler was a national socialist. That was the name of his party. And then Mao, another 30 to 40 million. So those big three alone are responsible for wiping out 100 million people. We're not counting Pol Pot, Idi Amin, innumerable others. So this is a, you know, I say a line in the book, I say, it seems like socialism means never having to say you're sorry, because look at no other ideology that produces this kind of death toll could ever hope to have a chance again.
It is kind of strange, isn't it?
It's very interesting to me, though, because I agree with you. Socialism has been just a terrible thing for so many countries and people, but they just keep on. Currently in the United States, the thought is, well, they just were doing it wrong.
Hasn't been tried, etc.
Right.
What does that even mean?
I know. I use the analogy to slavery because, see, socialism is the most discredited idea since slavery. And, of course, many of the great writers on socialism, from Solzhenitsyn to Hayek to George Orwell, they all emphasize that socialism is a form of slavery. It reduces people to misery and servitude.
Yep.
So can you imagine if someone were to say, well, you know, slavery was tried a lot of times, but everybody who tried it got it wrong. The idea was great, but the implementation was poor. This time we're going to get it right.
That's a great point, well, Dinesh.
So why is it that they're pushing this agenda so badly? Is it just because they want to stay in power and they want huge government and everyone, and they want to just be corrupt for the rest of time? Is that what this is all about?
What is it about?
Well, I think there are two points to make right out of the bat. One is that you've got a young generation that has been propagandized by its professors,
yeah,
that has
been told
that socialism is fantastic, and has been told that there are socialist models that do work. If not Lenin and Mao, look at Scandinavia. Why can't we all be like the Norwegians and the Swedes? They're happy people. It works over there. And so the propaganda of academia is critical here. The other thing is there's a very crafty group of socialist leaders at the top who have actually realized that socialism can be unbelievably profitable for them. And we've seen politicians in this country, from the Clintons to the Bidens to Al Gore, making really tens of millions of dollars on a government salary. Now, even though they keep pointing to Scandinavia, there's no Scandinavian politician who has done that. But socialism in America has been a kind of a racket. It's a way for the people at the top to get fabulously rich.
It is absolutely true. And by the way, I do believe, sir, and you can obviously correct me if I'm wrong, but the Scandinavian countries do so well with socialism because they got all their money from capitalism. The United States gave how much money to Norway to drill for oil?
The oil money is a big part of it.
Huge. It's a huge part of it.
Well, the Norwegians are capitalist in wealth creation, even though socialist in wealth distribution.
Right.
They have low corporate taxes. They have no minimum wage. You can hire and fire people for any reason. There's no wealth tax, with one exception. There's no inheritance tax. So the Norwegians and the Scandinavians are very careful not to kill the goose that lays the golden eggs. In fact, they don't even demonize the rich the way that Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders do here.
Right, right.
Dinesh, we got a caller for you, if you're okay with taking a call.
I'm ready.
All right, we got Craig on the line.
I'm ready.
Craig, you're on.
Hey, good afternoon. Dinesh, big fan. Can you talk in detail how Lincoln faced the same pushback from the Southern Democrats, and that how Trump is facing the same type of pushback from the Democrats, but in a more technical and a social media type of stance? Because I love what you talk about, but the parallels between Lincoln and Trump are just becoming so very apparent. Can you go into detail about that for me?
Absolutely. Well, the first thing that's really interesting to note is that the left today is pulling down not just Confederate statues, they're trying to pull down Lincoln statues. Mm-hmm. Now, you might think that's really strange. Why would somebody try to pull down the statue of the guy who freed the slaves? In fact, some people on the left have been telling me for years, oh, you know, Lincoln was a progressive. Lincoln was on the left. The two parties switched sides. Well, if that's the case, you would be embracing Lincoln. Why are you trying to pull his statue down? The truth of it is that Lincoln embodies in a crucial way both the Republican spirit and the American spirit. When Lincoln condemned slavery, he said something very profound. He said, slavery means you work and I eat. In other words, slavery is a form of theft. I'm going to make you work for free, and I'm going to take the fruits of your labor. And Lincoln said, this is the core of the Democratic Party. This is what they do. Now, what's really interesting is that if you fast forward 150 years, we obviously don't have slavery, but what we do have is a Democratic Party that is still based on economic confiscation. Whenever they promise free stuff. By the way, the Scandinavians never talk about free stuff because the Scandinavians know that they themselves are going to pay for it.
Right.
But the key to free stuff in America is we're going to get somebody else to pay. In other words, you work and I eat. They're still up to the same old tricks.
What an amazing take on
it. The top 10% pay how much of all income tax in this country? Like 50-something percent?
No, it's like 80%.
Yeah, it's more than 50.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
The top 1% pays about a third of the taxes, and the next 9% pays another third. So collectively, the top 10% pay about 66 to 70% of all income taxes collected in this country.
And they still get yelled at.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's not enough. They're not doing enough.
All right. We might have time for one more question if we're very quick about it.
All right. Well, Dinesh, you got to come back. This was not long enough. We have about 8,000 more questions for you.
Yeah, I got a lot of questions.
We really do.
Hey, guys, I'd love to do it. I mean, if I can close by saying, look for my book. It's United States of Socialism. We're going to have a movie based on the book coming out later this summer, and that movie is called Trump Card. So more to come on that score, but if you go to my website, it's just DineshDeSouza.com. You can find out about all this stuff.
We'll talk to you soon, sir. Thank you so much for your time today.
I appreciate it.
I wanted to ask you if the people that are all climate people, that are all free, are they involved in this movement? Because it seems like they are.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
I don't know. I barely hear anything about the environment.
I know, but they want you not to hear anything. They want to make it not about the environment.
The thing about climate change and all that is because the cost is going to be so enormous, and corporations and factories are responsible for so much pollution. They align with the progressives because
that's where all the big money comes from. Corporations aren't going to police themselves.
No.
Right.
Unless they absolutely are forced to.
I'm 100% for cutting as much international shipping as possible.
Absolutely. I don't.
Get rid of 90% of it.
Even if you've got, you know.
Well, it seems like they already have. I got 5 packages coming from other countries I can't get.
Well, yeah. But I mean, like, you know, just the fact that it's so easy to buy cheap crap from China sent over on a boat that gets 50 gallons to the mile.
Yeah, and you know, polluting up the storm.
And it's all polluting the entire time. And no one seems to be worried about that. They're worried about...
I think that's changing now, though.
You think so?
Yeah. I think the people are done with throwaway products and they want quality
products. I hope so, because that's... I honestly, I bet that whole international...
That's going to hurt
IKEA. The whole international shipping, you know, dime a dozen product thing is probably responsible for... at least 75% of this world's pollution.
How about just the moral obligation to not buy stuff that, you know, people get paid 10 cents an hour to make?
Mm-hmm. And even, but you know what? It's even the quality of stuff. When I was a kid, a pair of jeans would last you almost a lifetime. I mean, you had to grow out of them.
Levi's.
Yeah, they lasted you. Yes. You had to grow out of them. They didn't get holes in them. Now you buy even a good pair of jeans, they're junk in 6 months.
There's no market for quality.
That's because of the stretch fabrics.
Oh, yeah, that's probably why.
Yeah, jeans used to be able to stand up on their own when they were new. I mean, you had to wash them for about 6 months before they softened up.
They were basically
leather.
It's
all that stretch fabric.
Oh, even leather today is garbage.
Pay attention. Damn it.
Oh.
We'll be bad.
He who's on his computer.
No, I a minute and a half ago, I was like, we'll wrap it up.
Okay, Dad.
Okay.
All right, you're all out. We're not doing another segment just for that. We'll be right back.
Tom here for Shift Real Estate. Last year, about this time when we were making plans for Key West, I met the folks from Shift Real Estate. And when I heard the Shift story, it made sense to me. It made sense to my kids, and it makes sense to pretty much everybody that's heard about them. Shift Real Estate saves home sellers thousands of dollars on real estate fees. How do they do it? Shift lists for a flat fee of $5,000. You work with a full-time salaried agent. They take professional photos and videos of your home. List it on the MLS and market your home online, all for a $5,000 flat fee. Call Shift Real Estate and tell them about your home. Tell them that you heard me talking about it, and they will tell you how you can save $10,000 or more when you list with Shift. It's the common sense way to sell your home. Visit shift2sell.com. That's shift, the number 2, sell.com. Because life is expensive enough. What's more important than reliable plumbing? Having someone you can rely on in case it ever needs attention. Hi, Tom here for Sabre Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Look, you don't want to mess around with leaks or shoddy installation or repair when it comes to plumbing. Sabre is the largest installer of Moen fixtures and Rheem water heaters in Minnesota. They're dependable pros who get the job done right. So when plumbing happens, call Sabre or visit SabreHeating.com.
Northern Metal Fab, right off the interstate in Baldwin, Wisconsin, is a custom job shop specializing in large-scale projects. Northern Metal Fab is now hiring for all positions, including welders, painters, and inspectors, to provide quality craftsmanship to their customers. Northern Metal Fab is growing, and their growth is your opportunity. Northern Metal Fab offers competitive pay, excellent benefits, and more. Apply online today at nmfinc.com. That's nmfinc.com. Northern Metal Fab is an equal opportunity employer.
Oh, like in. Who knew we had lumbar support?
We're distracted by lumbar support.
Lumbar support.
We've only been sitting here chairs.
I need lumbar
years.
Support.
Not to mention this song has another.
There's a little
support.
Pillow you another, can move up and down. Right or down.
We're just gonna ease on into this one, Tony. Honest to God.
There it goes.
There you go. Oh, a little Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
Andy's got his Pink Floyd going today, ladies and gentlemen.
I have to,
hey,
I mean,
you. Is it me you're looking for?
Dinesh D'Souza is on Twitter, and he gets beaten up by the masses.
But
like
I have a question for you.
Would not believe.
I have a question for you. What does he say that's so wrong?
He doesn't like socialism. That's not what you're supposed to say today.
Socialism sucks, and it doesn't work. When are you going to learn that?
Because they're going to keep pounding on it until it happens.
Everyone pro-socialism that I know thinks that socialism is... We press the socialism button and everything is free.
Yeah, you get free money.
Yeah.
But what do you do if you don't work?
You don't. You get everything for free.
But what do you do? What's your purpose?
Catherine, I could tell you.
No one needs a purpose anymore.
If you're in CHOP right now, you get higher than a mother effer.
Oh, my God.
You are feeding
people. We're doomed. If you're going to have everyone on drugs and no one works, it will become... You don't even have any idea.
Well, the week after that's implemented, China takes over because there's nothing stopping them. If everyone is just an unemployed, you know, they're just...
That's right.
Everyone's drunk and high sitting at home.
All China has to do is call in the debt.
Yeah.
Then pretty what are much. We going to do?
Pretty much. Geez. We owe them $11 trillion or something.
So much money.
World War III is going to be China versus Russia, who gets America?
It's all going to be done on the internet. It won't even be a real war. Thank God.
Well, I either get to say
virtual, a virtual war.
Or Mao.
I don't know. You'd be surprised what our military has. Our military is pretty strong.
I don't think
we could be taken out that easy. As people, we could be taken out very easy. As a government, we could not.
Although Obama did weaken our army when he was president.
Yeah, but Trump really boosted
Trump
it.
Really
he put so much money into it in the last 3 years.
Did he?
Oh, yeah.
As a person who's actually been in socialist countries... I've actually been there.
Yeah, me too.
It's not good
for
the people.
No,
it's not. The average person has nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
We talked to a guy in Cuba when Catherine and I were in Cuba last year. We were talking to a guy, and he was all excited. Oh, man, so, this is the greatest thing. I'm so excited. The government has allowed, Mr. Castro has allowed me to get a second job. Mm-hmm. I was like, what? He's allowed me to get a second job.
Yes, I've been from the Baltic states all the way to Cuba. Completely different countries, completely different governorship in some ways. None of it works.
Doesn't work.
And I'm not talking about owning a lovely home and driving the latest car.
Or robbing they don't get the any, workers.
It's like that's not how they get to live. They never have had chicken or meat.
No. Well, you have to be over 70 or under 7 to get dairy products.
You have to save up. You have to save up for 4 years so you can get on a train and go to a country to buy some sheets because you're so taxed.
Yeah.
In your country that you can't afford to buy sheets.
Well, you get what the government gives you, and that's it.
But I do have a question.
I mean, if that's how you want to live, have a fun time.
I know. No, I forgot what my question was.
Well, it doesn't matter, because we got a call from Wendy.
Wendy.
Hello. How are y'all today?
Marvelous. Oh, I know my question. I can ask you this, Wendy.
You?
Dinesh D'Souza does a lot of research, works very, very hard.
What he says
is true. He's a very smart guy. Why do people hate him so much? Because he's not a coward?
Yeah, it's because he doesn't fit the narrative that they're trying to push to make the country what they think it should be. And it's really interesting because when people argue with me online about socialism, the first pushback I get... Oh, well, you don't like socialism? Well, what do you think libraries are? I'm like, that's not socialism. Well, what about welfare and all this? And I'm like, I don't know about that. But, I mean, I only have a couple minutes. We have a friend of the family that had to move to the United States from Bolivia because he had to apply for asylum because he was one of the people down there fighting against the socialist regimes down there.
Right.
And he was threatened with death. So America's like, yeah, sure.
I'd leave.
That's fine.
I would probably leave.
Well, and he said, you know, it kills me when I hear people talk about what a utopia that socialism is.
God.
He says, because it's not that way at all.
No.
He says, it is absolutely horrible. He said, basically what socialism is down there is the country's run by the cartels, but nobody wants to hear it outside the country.
Yeah, the military and the government is corrupt. And that's how it works in every socialist country.
Yeah. And in Minneapolis, too.
Yeah. He said Bolivia used to be a beautiful country that he grew up in, and people that were running it when he had to leave were, you know, owned by the drug cartels. So basically cocaine runs the country.
Yep.
And he says, I just want to shake these young people and say, go to my country for even 24 hours and you'll find out just how horrible socialism is.
It's well, but they'll go with a university group who will bring them to places that tell them how wonderful it is.
It's the same if you go to North
That's
Korea.
That's what happens. That's what happens.
They show you what they want you to see.
Yes, absolutely. That's why politicians, they go...
If smacking them wasn't illegal, I would have so much fun. I'd just run over to a college campus and whap, 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 whap.
You know, there's a lot of talk about that right now, that this all started because of candy-ass tenured professors. Yes. That's where it all starts.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's disgusting. I managed to get my daughter out of college without, you know, falling victim, so to speak, to some of those. Whenever she'd, like, bring up some crazy idea that one of her professors had, I'm like, okay, let's look this up and find the fact.
Yeah, that's the thing, is parents have to, when they hear that, they have to say, time to disprove that.
Well, the problem is we all ignored it for 20 years.
Yeah,
so now
did.
You have multiple generations that think this is true.
Yep.
So right. It's all our fault. We ignored it. And we did.
It's because parents let the college professors be parents to their children.
That's right.
Right. They said, the professor's going to be smarter than me. That's what the average parent said.
Yeah.
The professor's smarter than me.
Yeah, but if you look at an 18-year-old, they get to go off to college. They're living on their own.
Quote unquote.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and they're like, well, my parents are spending, you know, between seven to whatever tens of thousands of dollars to send me to college. They wouldn't send me to a place that's telling me a bunch of crap.
Right. Uh-huh. That's what I'm saying. We all thought, the professors are smarter than
all of us.
I'm
just learning new stuff that my ancient old parents who are supporting me 100% don't know.
Oh, it's disgusting.
So disgusting.
It is.
It's unbelievable.
You know, Catherine, you know what the trick was that we used when we you know, had her enroll in college, mm-hmm. we sat down and had a little talk with her about college and finances and how this was going to go. And I said, always remember, when you get out of college, you're going to owe half of this in loans because we're paying the other half. But what I want you to remember is be very careful about what you hear and what you believe, and don't be a sheep. Think objectively and research mm-hmm. because, you know, you're paying for somebody to brainwash you if you don't.
It's very true.
And I have to go because I have a meeting coming up. But, Tom, I also wanted to tell you that Prodigal Son got renewed for second season.
That was your suggestion.
Yeah. It looks like it's going to come up in the spring again.
Love it. I appreciate your call, Wendy.
Excellent.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Did you see, we only got a couple of minutes left, did you see the number one complaint about COVID by young parents? Number one
parents.
Complaint by young parents, parents in
young
America.
Young parents.
Young parents
That's me.
In America.
I'm a young parent.
Yes, you are a young parent.
I'm guessing they're forced to homeschool.
That is exactly it. They're bitching about having to spend time with their children.
Of course they are.
Well, in their defense, if you work full time,
yeah, if you're
and you're trying to be on 80 million Zoom meetings and homeschool your kids, it's going to be tough.
And don't have kids.
And on the other hand,
that wasn't the world three months ago.
If you're working full time, if both parents are working full-time and you have three kids at home that are under the age of seven, I don't even...
Or even...
And,
even
and on the other side, the kids have to be with their parents 24 hours.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Honey, really.
Yeah, it's not even the young kids. It's the preteens that would be really fun.
Imagine being
really
with your parents
fun.
24-7?
No. We can close with this. A young family, apparently worth a lot of money, said, well, we can't do this. We need a little time away from our children. Apparently they had 2-3 children, whatever it was. They said, we got to take a little time off. So instead of getting babysitters and going on a trip themselves, they rented an entire resort for a week for $150,000 so they wouldn't have to spend time with their kids.
Wow.
Who? Nice work if you can get it.
Yeah,
I'll see.
What's wrong with that?
They showed the place. The place looks like...
it's not that much, actually.
Yeah. It probably came with a few nannies.
$150,000
For a week?
Kids probably had a blast. Yeah.
For a week? That's
not
that bad.
For an entire resort?
Yeah, that's real reasonable.
$150,000.
You could split that between 10 people.
Yes. Can we get that deal?
There you go.
Well, if you $7.2 million, you can stay the whole year.
Yeah. For a week, that's a great deal, I think.
That's not bad.
No, that's not bad at all.
Where was it?
Not in America.
No, it was in America.
It must have been a little tiny roadside resort, like,
It was not tiny.
Like Dutch Wonderland or something.
This place is huge.
Palatial?
It's palatial, yeah. It's 19,000 square feet.
So is that compared? Is that compared like the one in Shakopee? What's that one? What's that amusement park there?
Mystic Lake?
Valley Fair.
Valley Fair.
Oh, that, yeah. No, it was a resort.
No, it was an amusement.
It was not
an amusement park. Oh, okay.
Michael Bryant, Brad Sean Bryant, what's the latest?
We're just trying to represent people who have been injured through no fault of their own. We're trying to talk to them before they talk to an adjuster or before they take a settlement that isn't something they should get based upon their injuries.
How many people are out there in different, not in the law business, that love to run around scaring people before you even get to them?
Well, adjusters will want to settle cases, right, and they want to close files. So based upon that, they do what they have to. I think there's a lot of circumstances where they probably act as attorneys where they're not attorneys, and they try to explain people's rights, or they give them a certain view that if they look at it. And what I always say is this: if the adjuster really truly thinks the offer they made makes sense, they'd have them come see us. You know,
and that's exactly my question is, you have to understand who has the best, your best interest in mind, correct?
Well, you want to know what your rights are. You know, whether or not you decide you're going to hire us or not, that's a choice. It's a free consultation, and you want to understand what your, all your rights are and what coverages you have.
And plus the fact, I hang out with you, so you got to be a good guy if I'm hanging out with you.
Maybe.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Bryant, Bradshaw and Bryant. Walzer Automotive Group, Walzer.com, and Doug Sprinthal.
Nissan news. This is exciting, and I'm glad Andy's here. We just got our first shipments at Coon Rapids Nissan and Burnsville Nissan of the all-new 2021 Nissan Rogue. Dude, you need to trade. This is a brand-new vehicle. It's got bird's-eye parking, so when you're backing up, you hit the screen, and it's like a spy satellite above the vehicle. It is, and it's got ProPilot. It is cool. Trade your car in.
Well, Melissa said she did like this one better than the last one, so maybe she'll like the next one better than this one.
All right, be like Andy and Melissa and check out the Nissan Rogue.
It's been a dream of mine to be like Andy ever since he was born.
So, yeah, check out these vehicles at Walzer Nissan in Burnsville and in Coon Rapids, House of J-Lo and the House of Dan Resch. Tell them Andy sent you.
Walzer Automotive Group, Walzer.com. I just realized something that I never realized before. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I got into radio on September 3rd, 1970. Because I never really graduated high school, but they had me come back and sit in a homeroom for a half a year. And then they gave me a diploma. So I graduated in January. No, it was actually December.
What did it say on the diploma? GTFO?
It says F off. Yeah, exactly. GTFO. That's exactly right. You doing okay down there, John?
Just looking for more volume.
It's on the right side.
Yeah, I got it now.
You got it now? You're good to go? Okay, so I get out of high school on like December 18th, 1969. And then I go to Brown Institute. What is that? This is like a seven-month course. I think it's 9 months, but they asked me to leave after seven and gave me another diploma. And I started at KDAN in St. Paul, a little 500-watt daytimer, on September 3rd, 1970. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize till just now I met my wife, Catherine Brandt, on September 3rd, 1980. I never realized those 2 days. Isn't that weird?
It is weird.
That on the same day, that's odd, man.
What was the date again?
September 3rd. So it would have been just before we went on Labor Day vacation.
One of the dates that I've never been married on. But anyway.
No, there's only a handful left, so.
I'm teasing. I'm just.
I'm teasing. No, you're not. Okay, so somebody brought this up on by coincidence, because I plugged the fact that you were going to be on the podcast today. And, you know, one thing I want to say up front to people, which a lot of people for some reason think that I hold everyone at arm's length and get the hell away from me and leave me alone. John and I have been friends forever. Moon from Moon and Stacy's a really good friend. I luckily met him through Doug Sprinthal, nicest guy in the damn world. Wife is far too good for him. You know, another one of those guys.
Right.
There's no question about that. I've known Meat Sauce over at KFan since he was 16 years old.
Wow.
I know a lot of
these
radio
people. I think he's a buddy
of
Campbell Walzer's, actually.
Meat Sauce. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, yep. I could see that. Absolutely. You know, as far as that's all concerned, I have a lot of friends in the radio. No, they're. As far as Nick and Josh at 93X are concerned, I know them both, but I don't know either one very well. And then Nick's got kind of an edge to him. because I tease him once in a while, because whenever I talk about 93X on the air, I say 93X. But whenever he talks about KQ on the air, he says, the show down the hall, right? So every time he does that, I walk past him, I'm like, oh, you mean that show that paid for everything that you do? You mean that one? But no, Nick's a nice guy. Josh's a great guy. Who else? There's some pricks in the middle. Oh, Dave Ryan's a complete prick. That's the one guy. Oh, that little puppet. Every time I see him, he could not be nicer to me to my face. But then I hear from nine people, he goes after me on social media like there's no tomorrow.
So let me ask you this. How did you two guys meet, if you remember that far back?
Oh, I remember it specifically.
Okay.
Tom was on the air at 15 KSTP, the music station.
15 KSTP, baby.
And I had been out in western Minnesota at the Buffalo Rodeo, and I was listening to 1500 KSTP. And we hadn't met face to face. So I thought, well, it's late enough. I may have been half snapped.
No, not us.
But I just kept right on driving. I lived in South Minneapolis at the time. I kept right on driving past my home and went to KSTP, 3415 University Avenue.
3415, baby.
Yeah.
One foot in Minneapolis, 1 foot in St. Paul.
I've been there millions of times.
I love that building.
Oh, yeah. It was great. You come into that front entryway and see that line down the middle of the linoleum.
Linoleum.
They finally remodeled the entryway to Hubbard just this year.
The floor.
Oh, yeah. It's all different.
Oh, no. I love that floor.
Yeah.
Sorry to give you bad news. So anyway.
You're
driving in your car drunk over to St. Paul.
No, I wasn't. No.
That's real.
Well. Defamation.
I walked in to the studio, and I just walked in to introduce myself.
Wow.
And I'll tell you this, because a lot of people think that Tom can be kind of a prick.
And they'd be right.
But
the hell do you know?
Oh, I'm sorry.
But the number of times that he took me in when I didn't have another place to go, I mean, I'd show up with a paper bag full of my belongings.
Well, it's only six times after each divorce, so it wasn't that big a deal.
I know that feeling, by the way. It's getting a little close to home.
How are you two doing?
He kindly took me in. The first time was when you were right off of Ewing, over by Lincoln Dell.
Yes. Yep.
You had an apartment over there.
Right over. Yep. Absolutely. Right across the. Right across. What is that? Minnetonka and Seven comes together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right there.
And then we ended up getting a place together.
Emerson Avenue. Emerson and Lincoln.
Fortunately, he was on the lease. I wasn't.
Neither was my brother, if you remember that correctly.
Yes, I remember that.
That would be me.
But I think three times. I think I've said this before. We were roommates three different times.
Yeah, I think we were, yeah. Yep.
He kindly took me in. So who normally sits in this spot?
Alex, no one really.
Yeah, she. Well, I mean, she came in for the first time in what, like 4 months earlier this week.
Well, because of COVID,
it's been empty for a while. Yeah.
Why you ask?
Because I see this like cuticle.
Yeah, there you go.
That'd be Alex. Yeah,
that's Alex all the way. No doubt about it. No, John, it's one of those deals, though. I talk about this all the time. For me to be, you know, I ended up over there, I was 19, about to turn 20, when I went over to KSTP. And to walk into a building that had Knapp and Bush in the morning, Steve Hatley, Joe Hager, Machine Gun Kelly was just leaving at that time. Steve Shannon was there, Larry Carolla was there. You know, half of those guys are dead now.
Really?
Yeah, Carolla's dead. Steve Hatley's dead.
What killed Carolla?
Joe Hager's dead. He died of cancer, I think.
Oh, that's
a shame. Austin, Texas. I think he was living in Austin, Texas. Nicest man. You'd never want to meet a nicer guy than Larry Carolla. You never could. I mean.
Who called him Crayola?
Me. Larry Crayola. Well, he went with the joke, so that was good. But, I mean, times like Larry Carolla and I was doing I was doing 8 to midnight, and he was doing midnight to 6 on New Year's Day. So I was there New Year's Eve. If anybody's got a copy of that, because he and I were hammered at midnight, I'll tell you that. Hey, happy New Year, Crayola. Yeah, great.
You know who else was there? And I think about it from time to time. The Cosmic Cowboy.
Cosmic Cowboy was there. Yep.
Terry absolutely. Roberts.
Terry, God, what a lunatic that man was.
Oh, driving down University Avenue, shouting down red lights.
Oh, yeah, 240, Datsun 240Z.
With his bottle of George Dickel whiskey.
George Dickel sipping whiskey, baby.
George Dickel?
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like it's out of Black Jesus. What was that? It's pretty Darby. Much,
yeah, yeah, Darby. Hey, we're going to drink this Darby. We give me some Darby. But, yeah, that was to walk into that building with that much talent, and you didn't realize this, but you had TV commercials, and you had, I mean, they spent a ton of money on that radio station back in the day. So for my first, it wasn't my first job, it was my first real job in radio.
Right.
To walk into that building and just be around all that talent, man, it was, what a stroke of luck that was. I mean, think about that for both of us.
Oh, yeah.
God.
And what happened good for me there was that when Knapp left,
mm-hmm. Went to Philadelphia.
Went to Philly, and I had a relationship with Charlie.
I love Charlie.
Because Charlie would be in early in the morning, and I was doing the overnights. So Charlie Bush was there, and we had just developed a relationship. And it's, I mean, one of the great moments of my career was when Charlie was sick. When he was sick, we organized a group. Tom was there.
Mm-hmm.
Knapp was there.
Knapp was there.
Yeah, he was.
I think Rod Person was there.
Rod Person, Smokin' Joe was, I think, there still.
I lived in southeast Minneapolis when I was, I guess it was right out of high school, apartment with just a bunch of stoned out hippies. Rod was right next door to
Rod
us.
Rod Person?
Yep.
Great.
Yeah,
guy.
It was like
really
11th and 4th Street or something like that. And one of the guys would always block his car in because it was a shared driveway. And he'd come over and he'd be all dressed up to go up to Hubbard and he'd be knock pounding on the door, pissed off. He hated us.
Oh, Rod was an even guy.
Well, I don't blame him. I mean, we were being dicks. Not
me. Let me get back to one question here. So what do you mean people think I'm a prick? Where's that come from? Nobody ever told me that.
Well, people have asked me before.
Oh, because of my on-air persona?
Yeah, people have asked me before. What is...
Everybody that knows Tom gets that question. I was talking to Tony Lee about this the other day, and I said, you know, there was one time when somebody... It was at a bar, and the guy was really hammered, and I said, you know, I'll tell you something, but it's kind of a secret. That's not even his real name. It's Phil Kastowitz. And he goes, really?
Phil Kastowitz.
And Tony Lee has told people, he goes, you know, I've never actually met him face to face.
No, but I mean... But because of your on-air persona.
But
people think that you are... And I always say he's a way nicer guy than he would like you to know.
That's a good way to put it.
Because he prefers to keep a lot of people at arm's length.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's too expensive to know a lot of people. It's really spendy knowing a lot of people. That's all I know. Over the years, it's very, very true. But let me give you an example that if I didn't, and again, it's not like a fake. It's just a bigger version of who I am. And when you're on the air, it's the same way. When we're on the air, it's just a bigger version. So if I just did the show in my normal, you know, demeanor, I guess, it would be, yeah, so John and I have known each other for a long time. And
yeah, it'd be boring as hell.
Pretty great, wouldn't it, me talking like this? So
we got to take a break, and then we have to – I screwed up the opening.
Gotta take a break,
John, but, you have 2 minutes to think about this. We always have the guests tell the story of the first car that they owned. So when we come back, it'll be your turn, and you can make something up if you want.
Oh, no, I remember that vividly, too.
All right, hold that thought. We'll be right back.
I have heard that the first car, it was a 1974 prick. We'll be back.
Tom Bernard here, and with me is the CEO of North American Banking Company, Michael Bilski. Michael, a lot of people have heard us talk about community banking over the years. We've been doing these commercials. What makes working with a community bank so different for your customers?
Our business banking customers honor us by sharing how we're able to help them on any new project, how we're able to quickly get them the funding they need when others in town can't do it. We do it by taking the time to get to know our customers and the challenges they face. When your business banks with us, you are not just another account number.
One thing I've always admired about North American Banking Company is how your team treats not only me, but my friends and family that bank with you so respectfully.
Tommy, thanks for making me look good, like my team does. As you know, I have a face for radio. We take pride in doing the right thing for all our customers and the communities we work and live. That's what we mean about being a community bank.
Why not bank with my banker, North American Banking Company, a better banking experience. Member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Dan Chesky is here from Dan's Southside Marine to talk boats in February.
2021 is all about boat inventory or the lack thereof. Dan's has what you're looking for in the color and model you want. So get in and take advantage of the factory incentives and discounts February offers.
Why should our listeners shop for a fishing boat at Dan's Southside Marine?
We have the latest models on display, like the new Revolution. It features rotational seating from Premier Marine and the new Alumacraft FSX crossover fishing ski. Both are getting tons of attention and grabbing sales from the competition.
Dan Southside Marine is packed with pontoons from Avalon, Berkshire, and Premier. With all the rebates and incentives we mentioned at the top, get the family out this weekend and come see these amazing pontoons.
And be sure to ask about custom-rigged Alumacraft fishing boats this weekend at Dan Southside Marine during our February open house.
Dan Southside Marine, 6 blocks west of 35W on 98th Street in Bloomington. Shop online at dansouthsidemarine.com.
Yes. We are back with John Hines, local radio legend. John, tell us the story about the very first car you owned.
I bought it in 1971. It was a 1954 Ford Country Sedan Station Wagon.
A station wagon.
Station wagon.
It's quite the chick magnet.
I bought it from Chuck's. On 18th and Lake, or he came to be known Hungry Chuck. And I swear to God that it died about a block away. And I had a couple of buddies with me. And I swear to God, we were looking at the front of the used car dealership there as he was counting the money. And I gave him $95. Watching as we pushed it by the dealership.
For those of you that don't know, Lake Street in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s was the heart of the used car business. Not the safest place to buy a car.
No.
This was not really for non-professional car buyers.
No, it's where...
Chuck's, Time Motor, there was a whole bunch of them.
Oh, Woodhead?
Yep. In fact, Tom Horner told the same story. Yeah, bought some old Chevy, yeah, and I think he might have got 4 blocks out of that one.
Yeah. Well, then I put a new battery in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know. I wasn't the wisest person about automotive mechanics. But you remember that there were a lot of vehicles then that had 6-volt
right.
batteries.
Yep.
Really? Huh. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I don't think it was till the late 50s that they went to 12s mostly.
Well,
really?
I put a 12 in there.
Uh-oh.
Turn the headlights on.
Yeah. Boom!
Just like flash bulbs.
A little overvolted.
Yeah, it was. It was a little carried away.
I know Tom knows the answer to this, but I don't. What was your first radio job?
Oh, I went to Normal, Illinois.
Mm. Every time I drive through it, I think of you. Because we drive to Florida once in a while.
Oh, sure, yeah.
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 Yep.
13 months, 3 weeks, 4 days, and 37 minutes.
You must have loved it.
I just wanted to come home.
Yeah.
I was a home...
Homesick?
Home guy, yeah. And
what kind of station was it?
It was a country station. WAKC, Countrypolitan.
WAC? You worked on WAC radio. Yeah. I remember it's WAC FM, but Jerk AM. Yeah, great. Wonderful.
WJRK?
WJRK, Jerk AM. Yeah. WAC it or jerk it. It's up to you.
I feel like the FCC wouldn't be too happy about that.
Ah, they're fine. Don't worry about it.
They'll get over it.
They assign the call numbers.
Yeah, 1440.
True. I on this show, I can ask this question, and you don't even have to use the word because it's not a great word to use. But I've always been asked, and I don't think there ever has been, all radio stations begin with a K or a W.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? Well, I am asked by so many people, not so much anymore, but I used to be. Was there ever a radio station that ended in UNT? And I went, I highly doubt it.
Probably not.
I'm pretty sure no. Want? Or OCK, for that matter. Maybe in Oklahoma, though.
Want.
Yeah, want.
I wonder.
That's exactly right. I wouldn't do that if I were you. OCK might be in, but that would be tough.
Actually, they were assigned to a station in Wailuku, Maui.
Where? What station? What was?
It never was built.
K-O-C-K?
It's K-U-N-T.
Really?
Oh, boy.
Yep.
That is amazing. Yeah. I never realized that would
they a would low-power digital television station.
So this is recent. Relatively, if it's digital.
Yeah, relatively.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Randomly assigned, I'm sure.
God, the T-shirts would be worth a fortune.
Yeah, for real. So.
Oh, and the slogans. Yeah. Oh, God, get into it.
It's like when I was a kid, the thing was, terrible. French Connection UK, FC UK. Everyone wore their shirts because it didn't say it, but it was close.
God. Isn't that amazing? I never would have assumed that anybody would have used those, but somebody tried to use those call letters.
I think they were randomly assigned. They must have been.
By who?
There's
great
no
grandma?
Way the FCC would have ever approved that.
I wouldn't think so.
So no. They must have known.
Yeah. I wouldn't think so.
So I have two questions. Are you a Brown Institute grad as well?
WKBI, the brown spot on your dial.
And did that place get burned up?
No.
Did it?
No. I don't know. That's about where it all started.
Oh, did that building get burned up?
No, I know they're out of business.
They're out of business, yeah. But the original building where I attended was at 33rd and Lake, right?
Right, that's the one I'm talking
32nd
about.
32nd and Lake.
32nd and Lake. I don't know. I haven't been over there.
But I will tell you, the Red Barn is closed.
Yes.
That was
you know that Town Talk diner got torched. That's
did it really? Yes. Son of a bitch.
You know,
oh, that's terrible.
Here's the thing, and my son, the one who lives in Ireland, posted a lengthy sort of manifesto on his Facebook page, and he said he was talking about how hurt he was about what happened to his neighborhood, 27th and Lake, that
right,
neighborhood,
right?
Everything from the schooner to whatever.
Yeah, the hexagon's gone.
The hexagon is gone. Yes.
Oh, but that's terrible.
My father and I used to go to the Town Talk on a Sunday morning. He would help me with my paper route. And then we would go to the Town Talk afterwards on a Sunday morning for a breakfast.
God. Phenomenal.
And it was just... I think his breakfast was normally a Bromo seltzer.
Well, we can get into that. We start talking dad if you want, both of us.
Yeah, but and I think that's the part that made me feel bad is because it was a regular, Sunday morning.
I spent a lot of time there too. I used to go to. They used to have open stages at the Poodle Club, which sadly burned down about 4 years ago.
Yeah,
and it's the weirdest collection of people in that neighborhood.
Well,
it's the Poodle was very
right
interesting.
Next door to Brown Institute. Yeah,
yeah, right. I think it was within a block or two.
Yeah, it was right on the same block. Oh, was actually.
It?
Yeah,
was it?
On the corner.
My father used to talk about the time that the Hex was robbed at like 8 o'clock in the morning, and there were 40 people in the joint. But nobody could describe the guy.
Yeah, one of my favorite things about Town Talk Diner, and that might have been in the later year. I don't even remember back then. But you would literally go in there for like a Saturday morning breakfast or something like that. And there would be guys in there staring across the street bitching that Minnehaha Lake Liquors isn't open yet.
Oh, yeah.
When are they going to open?
When I drove taxi in the 70s, there was a couple of guys, I won't name who they were, but they would do a lot of bootlegging on Sunday morning in that neighborhood.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because there were some guys that couldn't make it until they'd opened the
bars. Who did you drive taxi for?
Blue and White.
My father was an owner-operator for Yellow.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah, when they broke up the cab company, and he owned the cab.
Yeah.
Basically, you own the radio.
That's right.
Because when he passed away, we sold it to the guy who drove his cab. I think I told you this story before, Tom, that I'm at home one Saturday. That was when I married Annie, my son's mother. And
do you have two sons?
Two sons, yeah.
Oh, I thought when you just said my son's mother is only one.
No. I'm sorry, I meant two, yes.
Sons, plural, not possessive.
Yeah, not possessive, exactly.
But there was a call that came from then WLOL when I was working at LOL.
Right.
And somebody said, I didn't want to give out your number, but the guy said you can call this number and get a hold of him. This was on a Saturday morning, mm-hmm. early. So I called the number. It might have been James. I think that might have been his name. And it was a phone booth. This was before everybody had a phone. It was a phone booth at the bus station, at the Greyhound bus station. And I called the number, and the guy said, hello. I said, hi, my name is John Hines, and I was told to call this number. He said, oh, man, by now, I guess you know why I'd be calling. And I said, no. He said, oh, man, I hate to be the one to be telling you this, but your dad, he be dead.
Oh, no.
Your dad be dead.
Are you kidding?
Real. Wow. So,
that's how you found out?
Yeah.
Well, that's a shame.
That is a weird story.
So then I called. He said, well, he's at the Gopher Motel.
Oh, that's right. He died in the Gopher. I remember that. He died at the Gopher.
Yeah. So I called the Gopher, and I got the manager on the phone. And the manager said, well, the coroner is here now.
Oh, God.
This is convenient. And it's like, well, okay. And the coroner says to me, can I ask you something? Does your dad have a drinking problem?
Well, not anymore.
That's what
not
I said.
Not anymore, baby.
Apparently not anymore.
Sorry, it's just too good a line, right?
Apparently not anymore.
Apparently so. Not I remember that. I do remember one very special part of that story. Is there was a six-pack of beer with one beer out of the little, remember the little plastic mm-hmm. circle?
Yeah.
And there were five boys left. So Dad had one and the five boys, well, four boys, as it turns out, had a beer because one, Tommy cut him out of the mix.
No, he was there.
He was there, I know.
But this was at my house after the funeral. I had them chilled, and it was Special X.
Was it? It was Special X. I didn't know.
I remember in that
Green Death.
Oh, yeah. We used to drink that a lot, but because it said you can travel around the world and not find a better beer. It's no longer true because it's not on the label anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was. We all toasted. And it was kind of funny too. These are stories that are I guess
we got to take a quick break and we'll be back more with more drinking and driving stories with John Hines.
Tom here for Shift Real Estate. Last year about this time when we were making plans for Key West, I met the folks from Shift Real Estate, and when I heard the Shift story, it made sense to me. It made sense to my kids, and it makes sense to pretty much everybody that's heard about them. Shift Real Estate saves home sellers thousands of dollars on real estate fees. How do they do it? Shift lists for a flat fee of $5,000. You work with a full-time salaried agent. They take professional photos and videos of your home, list it on the MLS, and market your home online, all for a $5,000 flat fee. Call Shift Real Estate and tell them about your home. Tell them that you heard me talking about it, and they will tell you how you can save $10,000 or more when you list with Shift. It's the common sense way to sell your home. Visit shift2sell.com. That's shift, the number 2, sell.com. Because life is expensive enough.
Tom Bernard here with my friend John Schwartz, co-owner of AAA Movers, a family-owned part of the Metro since 1964. John, first off, when it comes to moving, not all companies are created equal. What are some of the scary stories you hear about other guys?
Tommy, if you hire Chuck in a truck, you unfortunately are going to get Chuck service. AAA Movers makes it our mission to guarantee satisfaction with every step of what can often be a stressful time in your life, moving. We move 10 to 12,000 families every year. So from your price quote to the professional, respectful way we handle your life's possessions, we'll make your move easy.
My like easy.
By the way, this month, if you mention Tom Bernard or KQ, you'll get a free moving box kit with every move, and you'll save $50 off with junk removal with Junk Luggers.
Your move is always triple guaranteed with AAA Movers. That's their price guarantee, safety guarantee, and satisfaction guarantee. Call 612-588-MOVE or online at aaamovers.com. AAA Movers, you may not move every day, but they do. Okay, you just reminded me of something.
When okay.
I said, your dad be dead.
Your dad, he did.
Went to WAP in Jacksonville in October of 1977. Okay?
The Big Ape.
The Big Ape. And so I get there and I'm the night guy, you know. Well, the reason, because I have a very raspy voice and the signal goes right through the ghetto out into the ocean. So they were trying to head fake everyone that I was actually black. I never claimed to be, but that was the impression everybody mm-hmm. got, right? Except for, like, my second night on the air, I get this call. Hey, Cat Man. Let me ask you a question. You ever laid down with a black woman? I said, well, what do you mean? I'm black. She goes, no, you're not. Don't lie to me. She knew immediately. But so I asked, well, what happened to the guy? Did the other guy, you know, did he go to a different market or something? I said, no. He got fired. And I said, well, why did he get fired? Now, remember, this is October of 1977. Remember what happened in August of 77?
Is that when Elvis died?
Elvis died, yeah, right?
Got lucky.
They play me the audio. Elvis dies on like August 17th, 12th, 17th, something like that, right? Next day, this guy goes on the air and he plays, ladies and gentlemen, this is a musician from the Jacksonville, Florida area. And we're going to play a song that he dedicated to Elvis. And here it is, a tribute to Elvis. Bill Burditzman and Elvis. He just ain't dead. And he plays the song, right? He comes out of the song and he goes, Elvis, he just ain't dead. He's dead. It's like, goodbye. You're in the deep south, A-hole.
Yeah, really.
You don't want to be doing that. He's in the deep south making fun of Elvis after he died. Yeah, not the day after he dies, he's making fun of Pretzel. Not a good plan. But what the hell? It all works out in the end, doesn't it?
I can't believe your dad was a cab driver. I did that for 4 years. Didn't end well, but I really enjoyed it. My favorite thing, and this was with a yellow driver. I bet your dad knew him. They asked me to be a union steward because back then they had an organized union. This is before they destroyed everything and made cabs leasable. And so I joined the union, and I got to go to the union meetings, which were at the remember the Vice President Bar on like 30. It was across Lake Street from where Kmart is now.
Okay,
that was before they blocked off Nicollet Avenue.
Garage.
Yeah. So the union meetings were basically us getting stiff, and Dick Say, who was the head of the union, who called everybody my short peckered friend. Telling the most outrageous stories. It was like he was right out of Central Casting.
He's what? Calling you my...
Everybody. Go, hi, my short-peckered friend.
His name is Dick Say.
He was just a character.
What did Dick say?
What did Dick say?
Right. He's actually the guy that named Now Then Minnesota.
Oh, he is?
So
really?
He was in that town, and they were trying to incorporate it, and they were, again, hammered at 2 in the morning and trying to think up a name. And one guy kept saying, well, now then we could call it Mary's Curve, or now then we could call it, you know, Crossing the Hill. And Dick says, fuck it, let's call it Now Then. And everybody said, sounds good.
It's a great town, Now Then.
That's how they named it.
Not too far from Coin.
No.
God, some of the towns in Minnesota. I mean, Jim Paul used to do his whole deal about... When you're in Emily and you're trying to reamer, you got to go through. What is it again? In order to get, what is it? There's three
times. You can't get to Climax.
Yeah, right. That's
if you want to get to Climax, you got to go through Whatever, yeah.
Emily before you get to Reamer or something like
some,
that.
Something to that effect,
it's
yeah.
Something like that. Really? Only in Minnesota would you have something like that.
What was the one I just saw and I shared it with somebody? It's how to tell if somebody is from around here.
Yeah.
You give them a list of town names. And it was Aiken. It was Matomidi.
Oh, mm-hmm. Matomidi.
Mathomidi.
Yeah. Mathomidi, yeah.
Yeah. There was a whole list of them.
Shakopee would have to be on there.
Shakopee's on there. Oh, Shakopee was on the list.
Well, I knew a guy who grew up here, and he still pronounced it Ostego, so...
Oh,
it's not a foolproof test.
I do that
Andy
all
Fisher
the time.
Does. He says Ostego.
Yeah. That's the one I mess
it's
up.
It's not a foolproof test.
But no, I can't remember what the other towns were, but it was just, I thought it was...
Well, Edina would be. People always...
Edina. Yeah.
Edina or Edna.
Mille Lacs, yeah. Edina, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
Funky Cole, Funky Cole Edina?
Funky Cole Edina. Exactly. God damn. It's absolutely true. What is a hell of a lot of... Now, you gave me all these memories, but all
well, that's
made
the
me
whole idea.
Sad, too, though.
Well, it's...
That was something else, man. To be at 1500 KSTP, the music station, back in the 70s...
And how many
like
times were you there?
In heaven. Five. Oh, I just mentioned this the other day to people. I've been at KQRS now for 35 years. I have another now about seven years, a little more than 7 years left on my deal. So I'll have been there for 42 years by the time I retire. Longest I ever worked at a radio station before that was 9 months. So I might have changed a little bit as time went by, but it all worked.
Or was that more common back then? I'm sure you had it coming, but I mean...
What do you mean by that? What do you mean you're
just taking
sure
a stab
it
at
done?
It? Andy, can I get some backup?
Five times, yeah. I worked at KSTP 5. Mark Driscoll. I worked for Mark Driscoll and Chuck Knapp. And
well, that's how I got the morning show.
From Driscoll?
Because he couldn't make it.
What do you mean he couldn't make it?
He couldn't make it in.
Who, Driscoll?
Yeah.
I didn't know. What do you mean he couldn't make it in?
He was just so jacked up.
He was jacked up. I do remember Mark being a jacked up guy.
I don't remember if he was, you know, if it was booze, drugs, whatever. But, and then, because he needed, I was doing the overnights. He needed somebody to call him to wake him up.
Oh, yeah.
But he'd be so screwed up, sometimes the phone would just hit the floor.
Oh, God.
And that's how you got the job.
That's how I got the job.
Isn't that amazing? You know, the first time I was at KQRS...
Well, they do say that half of being successful is showing up.
Yeah, that's so. I'll see. There you go. You got to show up. But yeah, my first time at KQRS in 1982, I was only there for about 7 months and got fired. And then I'm sitting in New York. We find out we're going to have Andy. So by coincidence, I just find out Andy's going to be born. And the phone rings and it's Dave Hamilton going, "Hey, you want to come back to KQRS?" And I went, I guess. I don't know.
I guess.
Then he called me back and said, "No, that's not going to happen." I said, "Really? That's too bad, huh?" He goes, "Yeah, the McKennas hate your guts." They owned the station at the time, right?
Were they then, local or was it a
No, they were in Washington. Company. They were lawyers in D.C.
Okay.
And then about a week later, I got a call back. "You're in again." I said, "What do you mean I'm in again?" They said, "They sold the station to ABC, so you're good to go." If they hadn't sold the station, I would have never come back. Isn't that weird how that stuff times out?
That is amazing.
I would have never been back here if they had not sold the station like that week.
So why did you get fired the first time in 81 or 2?
Because one of my coworkers stole another coworker's purse, and I said, basically on the air, "You're a thief." And apparently they didn't like me talking about crime on the air at the radio station or whatever. And Dick Poe, Dick's no longer with us, but... I ran into Dick Poe years later. I said, "Dick, I understand. It's not a big deal. It's not like I'd hold it against you. I've been fired more than any living human, so I wouldn't worry about it." But no, that's the thing about radio. Most people, what do you think the average time is for a person? Well, what's his name? Roger, I almost took the morning job at CHUM in Toronto in 1975. I almost took that job. But then Roger, what the hell is it, Ashby? Is that his name, Roger Ashby? He took the morning show at CHUM, and he just retired. So,
wow.
I mean, so he'd have been there like 45 years.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was good. So many things, I'm an outsider, obviously, but so many things have to happen for, the station can't go through a format change, right? Right, and maybe it could.
It's tough. It'd be tough.
I mean, if you're
them.
A morning drive show rock guy and they decide to go to classical, you're not going to survive the cut.
But John went from playing the hits to playing country music, and that yeah. worked well.
Yeah.
That worked fine.
And then to talk radio from there.
And talk radio from there, exactly. So it worked out.
I got to tell you a funny story about your country days. I had a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine. He's a lifelong bachelor. Women just love him, and he takes advantage of that, I think, to great lengths.
I'm glad.
And
we're
driving around, and he's got station, and we're listening to you. And I said, and no offense, but I'm not a big country music fan, especially modern country. He says, Mikey, why do you listen to this crap? He goes, I don't like it, but girls love this stuff.
They do.
And this was the height of
music,
the bull riding days, and you know, back
oh,
then.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The what was it? Was it Thumpers South and then became...
Oh, Thumpers.
Peabody's. I think it became Peabody's down off of...
55.
55, 52, that area down there.
Was that Tony Benincasa? Did he own that?
No, I don't know if he owned...
No?
No, but he owned... when it was Thumpers, he probably
I think he owned it when it was Thumpers, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw Todd Rundgren at Thumpers.
Did you really?
Real one.
Oh,
yep.
God, what a thrill that
was. It was a Back to the Bars tour, and me and a buddy of mine who were huge fans stood right in the front row, and I learned how to play more Todd Rundgren songs by watching him and taking notes. And
biggest fan he has is Catherine. She loves
him. I'm a big fan of his as well. Anyway.
Yeah, but anyway.
I forgot about Thumper South. That was the Fever Pitch Disco for a while. And
I don't know. It's with so many things.
Oz over in St. Paul.
Oh,
that was an interesting spot.
That's another place where.
That was the Mont Pettits, wasn't it?
Yep, I believe.
I think it was.
Or Lauderville.
Or.
I gotta double check now. Somebody will correct us here. But, it might have been one of Blackie's joints or. I was at home one Sunday afternoon when I lived over by Lake Nokomis, and phone rings, and it was one of the Mont Pettits, Earl or Warren, one of the adult.
The older guys, yeah.
The older, yeah. And he asked if I wanted to go out for a love boat cruise. And it's like, what? And I said, let me call you back. So I called my friend George Cook, who was a bartender.
Georgie, I miss George.
Oh, God.
What a lunatic.
Yeah. He called me. I was talking to George, and I said, George, I just got a call from, I don't remember which Mont Pettit it was. And I said, he invited me to go out onto the river with him for a cruise. Do I want to go? And George said, no.
Do you want to come back?
You don't want to go because you don't want to read about it in the paper the next day.
Yeah.
No.
Because it was like, you know, it was a couple of guys in a boatload of hookers. And which afterwards I thought about it and thought, well, that could have been fun.
Would have been a good time.
Didn't work out well for the Vikings.
Was that before or after your bowling reference about Earl Mont Pettit? Remember that?
What was that one?
You don't remember? Oh, I still tell that story to the Mont Pettits. Think of that son of a bitch.
Well, you got to tell the story.
So John is on the air at WLOL. And Earl Mont Pettit was going up on, I think it was a prostitution charge, if I remember correctly.
Probably something from the Belmont.
Yeah, something from the Bay, exactly. So he's going to do a little time in jail,
I
right?
sold cars with a guy that his previous experience, he was the head vibrator salesman at the Belmont Club.
Well, there you go. Good job. So John's on the air, and I'm listening this day. And it was revealed that while he was waiting to go to jail... He went bowling. Do you remember the story now? So he went bowling.
You sure I told this story?
Yes, you did. You definitely, because I heard you do it. He rolled a 300 game.
Wow.
Right? Which is pretty damn amazing. This guy's going to jail, and he rolls a 300. Shows you how concerned he is about going to jail, right? Hines on the air goes, And I tell you something, I mean, bowling a 300-game is tough enough, but try doing it sometime wearing handcuffs. And the Montpetits did not see humor in that at all.
That's really funny.
I'm not sure if
I never said that. Yeah, here we go. Oh, my God. We got to book you again.
Yeah.
It's over already.
I know it.
Oh, my
God.
Well, I knew this was going to happen, and we've just scratched the surface. So I want to thank John for coming in and being part of Car Selling Secrets. It's been really fun. I knew this was going to happen. And let's do it again.
Very fast. I'd love to get you booked. You know what we should do, actually, John? This inspired it. You know, maybe we should reach out to you know, Moon and Meat Sauce and whomever. We should get a bunch of guys in here and do, like, a 50-year radio conference. That would be
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
You could be the moderator.
You could probably even sell it. I don't have to do anything.
Why not? You be the moderator.
You guys are all extroverts that talk for a living.
Who would it be? Let's see. We would have Moon in here. We have you in here. We have who else is out there? Like I said, Meat Sauce I've known forever. Get him in here.
It'd be fun if you get Dave Lee in. I don't know if he's
Dave Lee's a great guy.
He is. He's a really nice
guy. I mean, every time I see him, he's very, very nice.
He's a very nice man.
Yes. That's what I hear.
And he knows a lot. He knows a lot about a lot of different things.
Yes.
It's really kind of like an encyclopedia talking to that guy.
It is true. Somebody told me he's retiring, or he did retire.
No.
Somebody told me he's retiring. That's what I heard.
No.
Lynch retired, right?
Kind of.
Mike Lynch retired. Cannon. You know what I love about you? I'll close with my Cannon story and Gelfand story, right? So Cannon and I became pretty good friends. We'd go out and have lunch, or we go do, you know, hang out and whatever. We talk about radio and all the rest of it. It's having a great time and all the rest of it. And so Gelfand asked me one day, he goes, "Hey, could you introduce me to Steve Cannon? I'd love to meet the guy." And I said, "Yeah, no problem." So I introduce him. Steve Cannon never talked to me again. What does that tell you? Right there, baby. John, come back. We got to have you back.
All right.
This was terrific. John Hines.
Thank you very much for the invitation initially, and I appreciate the opportunity.
And yeah, I want to talk to you more about what you talked to me about, so I'll just give you a call later or whatever.
All right.
I'd love to do that. I think that'd be a great idea.
Okay.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Over and out.